Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Mem Vav. Today's Gemara has been dedicated by Mr. Ike Shebar in honor of the rabbi, the Tzkele Mitzvot Ike. Today's daf is being studied Le'elu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden Amen. We are starting on daf Mem Heh Amud Bet. Towards the bottom we are actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom, starting from Amar Mor. We learned in a Braita, Biyom Tov Harehen Keragle Kol Adam. We said that if it rains on Yom Tov itself, meaning it did not rain Me'ed of Yom Tov, where already you had Shevitah going into the holiday. In that case, we said when it rained Me'ed of Yom Tov, so the conclusion of the Gemara was, it's considered as if it has 2,000 Amah to each side. Which means even though it is Hefker, but we said that Hafatzim of Hefker are Kone Shevita, 2,000 Amot Lechol Ruach. But that's only when it falls on Erev Yom Tov. That means it went into Yom Tov in its spot. However, when it falls on Yom Tov, so the deen was, it is like Ragle Kol Adam. Whoever gets it, then already it follows his Tum. So the Gemara says, Ve'amai, why are you saying it wasn't Kone Shevita? Likni Shevita Bukiyanus. Where was the rain at Ben HaShemashot? The rain was in Ukianos, Oceanus. It was in the oceans. So therefore, we should consider it in the ocean before Yom Tov. And now by the time it gets to the land, it should already be considered what? You should only have 4 amot. Because bottom line, it was Kone Shevita. Where? In its spot where it was. Where does the rain emanate from? The rain emanates from the ocean. So since it was in the ocean before at Ben HaShemashot, that's where the Shemitah should be. So the Gemara says, Lema delok at Bili Aizer. From the fact we're not saying this, must be we're not going like the Bili Aizer in Masechet Ta'anit. The Ik at Bili Aizer, because the Bili Aizer told us, Ha'amar, kol ha'olam kulo, mime ukiyanus hu shoteh. The Bili Aizer Shita was that all the rainwater stems from the ukiyanus. So obviously we're not going like him. Obviously we hold that the rain emanates from somewhere else, from the clouds. So comes again and says, Amar Rav Yitzhak. Rav Yitzhak says, no. I can even tell you we're going like the Bili Aizer. We're talking about where the clouds formed already from Eid of Yom Tov. So you know the water was not in Ukiyanos at the Eid of Yom Tov, because already the clouds were formed before Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, V'dilma hanach azle v'hanach aharini ninu. What do you mean? How do you know it's the same clouds? Hey, just because it was cloudy at the end of Yom Tov, maybe those clouds left and new clouds came, and therefore, how do you know exactly that these are the same clouds of the rain that was Ben HaShemashot? So comes again, and really, what I'll tell you that it was really in the Okeanos. So Gemara says, "The eat lehu simana begavayu." Gemara says, "No, we're talking about we have a siman on the clouds, meaning the formation of the clouds, or in a certain way where you know these were the clouds of the that were there from before Yom Tov. Now, Gemara says, "Ve'ibaitema," or we could say, "Havi safek the debrehem," or at worst, it is a safek. We don't know, are these the clouds, or are they different clouds? And we're talking about over here, Tehomin, which is the Rabbanan. So therefore, the safek the debrehem, Nakim. Therefore, we say safek the Rabbanan Nakim. Therefore, we have no problem. So comes the Gemara and says, still, even if you want to tell me that they're in the clouds, velikne shevita be'abim. Okay, fine. So then the shevita should be in the clouds themselves. I mean, true, it's not going to be in the Ukianos, because you want to tell me, you know, that they were in the clouds already from before Yom Tov. And you have a siman, you know which clouds they are. Granted, but the fahot and the shevita should be in the clouds. So the Gemara says, tefshot me, now I could resolve from this, de'en tehumin lema'ala me'asara. I could resolve a question that we had on the previous staff, that obviously Tehumin are not above 10. So therefore the clouds that are above 10 are not subject to the laws of Tehumin. When does the law of Tehumin kick in? Once they come on the ground. And since they came on the ground on Yom Tov, so the name will be that the Mikoneh Shevitah according to the first person that acquires it. So the Gemara says, because if you're going to say there is Tehumin above Asara, Likneh Shevitah Be'abim. So then we should say what? There should be the Shevitah in the clouds. So comes the Gemara and says, Le'olam emalach yesh tehumin. Really, I'll tell you, there can be tehumin even above Asara. Umaya be'iva mibla beli'e. But the way we look at water in the clouds is, it's swallowed in the clouds. Meaning, it's not considered rain yet. And therefore, since it's in the clouds but not considered rain, I don't care if it's outside the tehum. It didn't turn into rain until when? Till it comes down. So therefore the Gemara can say even there is tehumin of Asara, but it's not considered mayim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If that's the case, kol sheken dehavu lehu nolad, which means all the more so, now that rain that falls has going to be a din of nolad. Which is something that was not there and is born on Yom Tov, has a status of mukseh. It's called nolad. And therefore, da'asideh, it should be mukseh. I mean, forget about moving them according to the tchum of the person. It should be mukseh legamre. Because bottom line, it was nolad on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, Ela maya be'avim menat naideh. Really, I'll tell you, really the water is in the clouds. And I could tell you that what? There is tehumim above Asara. And what? Still it's not going to be subject to the laws of tehumim, because the waters in the clouds are constantly moving. And in order to koneh shevitah, it has to be stationary. So that would be the answer to the original question. What's the case? The case is, now we didn't want to say it was in the Ukianos for whatever reason. We're going to go back to that in a minute, obviously. But it was not in the Ukianos, we're talking about it's in the clouds. Also, it's in the clouds, and we want to say, really, there is tehumin above Asara, and there is water in the clouds, so it's no problem of nolad. Also, if it is tehumin in the clouds, so that's where the shevitah was, so it should be asur to move it once it lands on the ground. No, there's no shevitah there. Why? Because it's moving. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Hashad atid lache, ukianos name lo nikshu lecha, mayab ukianos name menad naide. Once you're saying that the moving does not create a Shevitah, I can go back to our original answer. Really, I could tell you at Ben Hashem HaShot, it was in the Ukianos. And even though it was in the Ukianos at Ben Hashem HaShot, there is no problem. Why? Because since the Ukianos is moving, so therefore it's not considered Shevitah at that spot. And when it goes in the clouds, it's still moving. And therefore, once it lands on the ground, that's where the Shevitah becomes, until a person comes and moves, it'll be according to his tchum. So comes again what says, V'tanya, we have a Braita Neharot HaMoshchin. You have the rivers that are being drawn, meaning moving. U'mayenot HaNovim. And Mayenot, those are wellsprings that are flowing or gushing, okay. Harehen keragle kol adam. So they follow regle kol adam. They follow the legs of the person that draws from them. Meaning they don't have a shevitah on their own because they are moving. So that's the way we're going to answer. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Ide, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, Halacha Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, meaning that by an Adam that was sleeping at the time of Shabbat, still he is koneh shevitah in that spot, 2,000 amot, lechol ruach, against the hachamim. He says, alakha fazu b'yohanan ben Nuri. Amar le Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, so Rabbi Zera told Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, beferush shami'ah lach, did you hear it explicitly from Rabbi Yoshua? O mechlala shami'ah lach, or did you hear it from an inference? No, I heard it. He told me explicitly. Halakha follows Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. So the Gemara says, "My chilala, what was the
Hadamina, when you said, did you hear it from an inference? What did the Yeshua say that you would be able to imply? Because the Yeshua made another statement. He once said, halakha always follows the lenient opinion in Eruv. And therefore, what's the lenient opinion in this case over here? The lenient opinion is, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nui, that when the guy is sleeping, he is koneh shevita, therefore he has the ability to walk 2,000 amot. Because according to Hachamim, you're stuck. It's no shevita bichlal, therefore you only have 4 amot. So now we're going to ask a question. Comes out of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi made two statements. He must have told, he must have said to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Ideh, he must have told them one statement, halakha kedivrei hamekel by Eruv. And number two, halakha kedivrei Yohanan ben Nuri. Now why would you have to tell us two statements? One statement could be enough. Why would you have to say halakha kedivrei Yohanan ben Nuri? Because he told them I heard it explicitly. And he also told them the rule of what? Halakha kedivrei hamekel by Eruv. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the Mekel Be'eruv. What do you need both statements for? So the Gemara says, "Betarti la'male." What do I need both statements? So the Gemara says, "Amar bizerat tziriche." You need them. Why? Di ashmein alach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. If you tell me that I can't follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, hada mina ben lekula ben lechumra. So I would have thought it follows him ben lekula on the lenient side and also on the chumra side. What was the chumra side? Rabbi Yochanan said by hefse hefker. He said that what they are koneh shivita, meaning that they themselves have 2,000 amot on each side. Even though the guy that picks it up and koneh it, his eruv, let's say, is further, it does not have the leniency of his eruv, but it only has the strictness of the eruv, of the tehom, of the item itself. Now that's a chumrah. But to say that it has the tehom of the person, that could be a kula, because now you can walk at, let's say, 4,000 amot, on one side, to the east, for example. So therefore, the hadush was halakha kedivrei Yohanan ben Nuri only lekula, but not lechumra. Now we continue. Kamash malan halakha kedivrei mekel be'iru. So that's why I had to say no. Even though I said halakha kedivrei Yohanan ben Nuri, I had to say the second statement, the halakha kedivrei mekel be'iru, that only like the lenient opinion. Now we go the other way. Velema halakha kedivrei mekel be'iru. Just say that statement. Halakha is like the Devar Mekel. Halakha kedivrei Yohanan Nuri lamali. Why do you have to say halakha kedivrei Yohanan ben Nuri? It's tzarich. You needed that. Sarka dakamina hanimile yachid bimkom yachid v'rabim bimkom rabim. Which I might have thought, when do you say halakha kedivrei Yohanan Mekel? When it's an even argument. When it's a yachid against the yachid, take the Mekel. Or a rabim against rabim, take the Mekel. Aval yachid bimkom rabim, but where it's a yachid against rabim, like in this case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is going against Hachamim Emalo, I might say no, then you can't go Lakel. Maybe you have to take the majority opinion. So therefore he came along and said, Halakha kedivrei Mekel be'eruv, even in a case where it's Yahid against Rabim, you still will take the Yahid. So that's the Chidush of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levin. That's why he made both statements. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le'Ravad Abaye. Ravad comes to Abaye and says, Mechdi, let's analyze. Erubin de Rabbanan. We know the law of Eruv Tehumin is the Rabbanan. Yachid bimkom yachid, umali yachid bimkom rabim. What's the difference? If you have a rule that says it's Rabbanan, you're always going to go lenient. I don't care if it's yachid against yachid or yachid against rabim, which means, why would the Yoshua ben Levi have to create a new klal and tell us halakha kedivrei mekel be'eruv, and you're telling me what? Halakha kedivrei Yohanan ben Nuri, to tell me that even though it's Yahid against Rabim, still we're going to take the Yahid against the Rabim, as if it was a Hiddush. Rabbi comes along and says, that's not a Hiddush, that's obvious. If Eruv is the Rabbanan, automatically you're always going to take the Mekel, regardless, even though he is the Yahid. Whereas according to the way we're learning now, no. In this case, we're going to take the Yahid because of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's klal. But it's masma in general, just because it's a rabbinical law, we're not bound to take the Yahid. On the contrary, you'll take the Rabim. So therefore, the Gemara now is going to question Rabbah's principle. Again, Rabbah's principle that he wants to say is that it's pashut. When you have a rabbinical law, I don't care if it's Yahid against Rabim, go with the Mikil. Go with the Mikil, even if it is the Yachid. So the Gemara challenges that. Amar Papa Lerava Ubed Rabbanan Lo Shani Lan Ben Yachid Mkom Yachid Liyachid Mkom Rabim. Rabba, there's no difference between when it's Yachid against the Yachid or Yachid against the Rabim. You're saying, Rabba, no, there's no difference. You always go according to the Mikil. The rabbi is coming along and telling Rabba, that's not so simple. That when it's Yachid against Rabim in a rabbinical law, you're going to take really the Rabim, which means you're going to take the majority opinion. We don't just say, oh, it's the Rabbanan, take any opinion even if it's the Yachid. How do you know that? That we learned in a Mishnah. Let's just give the Klalim. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Nida. The law says like this. When a lady becomes Nida, so obviously she is Tameah. Hakamim came along and said, for that matter, everything she touches also becomes Teme'ah, meaning Taharot. Let's say she touched Terumah, it becomes Teme'ah as well. But the Hakamim came along and said anything she touched within 24 hours before she got her Nidah also is going to be Teme'ah. Why? Because you have to assume that maybe the blood came out into the cavity over there, but didn't come out of her body yet. And therefore, retroactively, anything she touched within 24 hours, we're going to put Tum'ah on that item. Now, in certain cases, however, the rabbis were lenient not to put retroactive Tum'ah. The deen was Dayan Shatan, meaning we just give them their time going forward. Now the Gemara is going to give us one of those cases. What's the case? That call Isha, any lady, whether she's an old lady or she's a young lady, where it passed three periods, meaning each period would be 30 days. I mean, she went 90 days without seeing blood. Daya shata. Then already she's established herself that she is not going to see. And therefore, when she does see, you assume that it came now. And therefore, you don't give her retroactive tumah. That's the opinion of the B. Eliezer. Hakamim in that Mishnah argue. And they say this deen is only true by a zekena, by an old lady. Because an old lady, really, she's already stopping to see. But a young girl, doesn't matter. Even if she goes 90 days without seeing, you put a retroactive tuma on the taharot. That's the machlokat hachamim and the bili aizus. Let's go again. This is a classical case of a yahid against the rabim, where the yahid is being mekel, and the case is the rabbanan. Meaning it's a rabbinical thing that we're giving our retroactive tumah. So therefore, it's the yahid v'rabim, and the yahid is being mekel. Now we go continue. The tanya we learned in the braita ma'aseh. The asar rabbi, ki rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi followed the psak of rabbi Eliezer. Now, which means there was a girl. She didn't see for 90 days. So the Rabbi gave a psak that all the taharot that she touched within 24 hours are tahor, because we go like Rabbi Eliezer. Then it says, le'achar shenizkar, but after he remembered, amar, kidai hu Rabbi Eliezer l'smuch alav b'shat ha'dahak. After he remembered, so he made the following statement. Alright, you know what? We could follow Rabbi Eliezer anyway b'shat ha'dahak. That she tells us it was a famine year, that year, and therefore it's considered Sha'at Dahak. If you're going to say that retroactively all the things become Tameh, it's Yimafsid Tarot, Yimafsid Ochlim. And if it was a year of famine, so therefore why should we be Mahmir Sha'at Dahak to say retroactively the food's going to be Tameh? You know what? We can rely on the Bili Aizir Sha'at Dahak. Now the Gemara analyzes. Maila Hashin is Kar. It says after he remembered. What did he remember to be? If he remembered that, the halakha doesn't follow the Bili Ezer, but it follows the Banan. How was he able to go like him? If the halakha is not like the Bili Ezer, he should have said, the stuff that she touched within 24 hours is Tamei'ah. He should have said, I made a mistake. Which means, if it was black and white, if the halakha was like Hachamim, how could it say, if he remembered that he made a mistake and he was posik like the wrong rabbi, say, leave it. Let me leave it. If you posik like the wrong rabbi, you have to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The stuff that I told you that was taught is really tameh. So that cannot be the explanation. Ela delo itmar hilcheta lo kerebili aizir delo kerebanan. In this machloket, it was not decided who the halakha follows. So, le'ahar shenizkar, after he remembered, de'lav yahid palig aleh, ela l'rabim palig aleh, after he remembered that it's not an individual that's arguing against Rabbi Eliezer, but it's actually the Rabbim that's arguing against Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore really you should side with the Rabbim. So he said, alright, already I was posek like Rabbi Eliezer, Amar kedai with Rabbi Eliezer smok alav bish'at ad-dahak. Alright, it's kedai to rely on him bish'at ad-dahak. So therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that normally he would have taken the Rabbim, even though it's a Drabanan case over here, and you have a Machloket Yahid against the Rabbim, and the Yahid is Mekir, doesn't matter. You go with the Rabbim. What's the proof? Because it was an afterthought. Right, after he remembered, it's the Rabbim, alright, in this case, Bidi Avad will take Rabbi the Ezer, Bishat Adak, implying what? That it's not an automatic, like Rabbah wants to say. Rabbah wanted to say it's an automatic. Yahid against Rabbim in a Drabanan, you always take the Yahid. From this case of Nida, you see, not like that. You see, really, he would have taken the opinion of Hakamim. It's just that what? It was after he remembered that the Hakamim were arguing on him, so therefore he took Nabi Eliezer Bishat Hadak. So therefore comes this Gemara to disprove Rabbah's theory. Comes Gemara and says, I'm out of Mishar Shia Le Rabbah. The of Nachman bar Yitzhak le Rabbah. So Rav Meshashia comes along and says, "Ubed Rabbanan, lo shani ben Yahid bimkom Yahid, ben Yahid bimkom Rabbim." So he comes along and says, "We don't make a difference." Rav Meshashia says, "We don't. We make a difference between when it's a Yahid against the Yahid and a Yahid against the Rabbim." Which means he's going to ask another question now against Rabbah. Rabba, you again say what? That if it's a Drabanan, you always go Lekula. Mm-hmm. Whether the Mekirim are the Rabim or the Mekirim are the Yahid. And Meshashah comes over and says, that's not so. Mm-hmm. I'll bring you a proof from the following Beraita. Va'atanya Shimu'a Kiroba. What is Shimu'a Kiroba? A Thelman, somebody passed away. And the relative did not hear about it immediately, but he heard about the death within 30 days of the passing. That's called Shimua Kiroba. So the Gemara says, Shimua Kiroba no heget shiva. So when he hears it within 30 days, he has to keep 7 days of Avilut, Ushloshim. And then he has to keep all the laws of 30, meaning shaving, and the laws of haircuts, etc. Rehoka, but if he heard after 30 days, Eina no heget ila yom ehad. He only has to fulfill 1 day of Avilut. Ve'ezui Kiroba, ve'ezui Rehoka. What is considered Kiroba and Rehoka? Betok Shiloshim Kiroba. Within 30 days of the passing, it's called Kiroba. The harshi loshim after 30 days, the choka. Devre Rabbi Akiva. It's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The achemim omrim, achad shemua Kiroba. The achad shemua rechoka, no heget sheva, ushloshim. So again, there's another classical case of Yahid against Rabbim, Rabbi Akiva against Hakamim. Rabbi Akiva is being lenient. He's telling you, shemua rechoka, you only have to do 1 day, where Hakamim are telling you, you have to do 7 and 30. Now, this case of Avilut is talking about Avilut, the Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. And still now, what's the deen? Well, let's see. Ve'amar Rababar Barchanam Arab Yohanan, kol makom sh'ata motzi yachid mekel. The Rabbi Machmirim, whenever you find a yachid that's lenient, and the Rabbi is Machmirim, halakha kedevre ha-machmirim ha-merubim. He clearly said, you go take the Machmir chutz mizu. Except in this case of Avelut. Shafati Rabbi Akiva Mekel. V'achamim machmirim halakha kedir Rabbi Akiva. Why? V'sabala kedir Shmuel. Because we hold like Shmuel, damas Shmuel, halakha kedivrei Mekel be'avel. Because the rule is, when it comes to Avelut, we have existing cloud. You take the lenient opinion by Avelut. So the Gemara says, be'avelutu de'akilu barabanan. Only in Avelut you take the kulam. Al be'alma. Afilu ben Rabbanan shani ben Yahid b'mkom Yahid ben Yahid b'mkom Rabbim. Meaning, in a rabbinical, we're going to make a difference between Yahid against Yahid and Yahid against Rabbim. Meaning, if it's Yahid against Yahid, we'll take the Yahid lekula. However, if it's Yahid against Rabbim, we're going to take the Rabbim, even though it's rabbinical. So that's another question on Rabba. So basically, so far we asked two questions on Rabba. The first question was from the Nida case, right? From the fact that we had the case of the girl that did not see for 90 days. Rabbi originally was posek like the Kulav Rabbi Eliezer, not the posel Terumah l'mafreya. Then the Hashan is God that he remembered that the majority was arguing. He thought, you know what? Keep it. Implying why? That if he would have known that from the beginning, he would have been Mahmir Kotis Yahid against Rabim in a Drabanan. Second proof was from Avelut. The rabbis were Mahmir in the Avelut case. They said, Shimua Rehoka, you need 7 and 30. You know, Heg, the 7-day Humrot and the 30-day Humrot. So that's a Mahmir against Rabbi Akiva. And would we say, well, we're going to take Rabbi Akiva only because this is Avelut. But in every, and we have a rule that says, Halakha Kedavra Mekel Ba'Avelut. However, everywhere else, Yahid against Rabbin, even in Rabbanan, you're going to take the Rabbin, because that goes against Rabba's principle. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbapama, now we go back. Going back to the other issue that we had today. We started off the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi made two statements. He said, Halakha ke Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. And he said, Halakha ke Devrei HaMekel Be'iruv. So the Gemara said, what do you need both statements for? So the Gemara and the Amud Rishon gave us a tznichuta. You need him to say both statements because I learned a chidush from both. Let's review what the first answer was. The first answer was what? That you're telling me, Halakha ke Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, that comes and tells me that even though it's Yahid against the Rabbim, I might think that you go with the Rabbim, Kama Shmalan, no. You still take Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. And it says, Halakha ke Rabbi Yohanan Mekel, which means you only take him Le'akel, and you don't take Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri Le'humrah. Because he also had a humrah. The humrah was by hefseh, hefker. That if the item's in the Rishut Rabim, and nobody has an ownership to it, he was mahmid that what? That it has 2,000 amot already, lechosah, that was a humrah. So we gave a srikhuta already, why the Bi Yoshua had to say both statements. Al-Khaqir Rahman Nuri, and Al-Khaqir Rahman Mekel, the Iruf. Now the Gemara of Papa is going to offer another reason why he had to make those two statements. Because the Gemara says, Papa Amar, it's terich. You need both statements. Why? Salka datach amina hani mile be'irube hatzerot. Which means, I might have thought that when do we go? Halakha kedivraham mekel be'iruv. Which type of iruv? Iruv hatzerot. That's the iruv that you make between courtyards. About be'irube techumin. But maybe when it comes to iruv techumin, ema lo. I might think, maybe you don't go that kill. Siricha. And that's why you had to come along and say, no, that the halakha falls of Yohanan ben Nuri, even by Eruv Techumin, you can be Mekel. Now, obviously, there's a reason to think there would be a difference between Erubeh Haserot and Erubeh Techumin. So the Gemara says, Umina Timra, where did you learn that Deshani Lan ben Erubeh Hasol Erubeh Techumin? Where do you see that there's a difference between the two types of Erubim? Both of them are basically the Rabbanan. So therefore, why should I think that they're only Mekel by Techumin? I'm sorry, by Hatzerot. And not by Techumin. So the Gemara says, Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah. Amar Yehuda. Bameh devarim amurim be'erubeh Techumin. Aval be'erubeh Hatzerot. מערבין בין לדעת, בין שלא לדעת. שזכין לאדם שלא לפניו, בין חבין לאדם, אלא בפניו. We have a klal. Can you make an עירוב חסרות for somebody without him knowing? Which means, let's say, you went and you picked up the piece of bread. He didn't know that he's going to be part of the Eruv. He said, I'm being koneh this piece of bread for Mr. So-and-so that lives in the Hatzer, and now everybody will be able to carry in the Hatzer. Can you do it without him knowing? You can. That's based on a principle that says, Zachin le'adam, shelo b'fanav. That if it's a zechut for him, if it's a benefit for him, so therefore you can even do it without him knowing. It is a benefit for him to be zocher, this bread, to be part of the Eruv, to be part of the Eruv Haserot, because now he can carry to and from the house and the Hatzer. So the question is the other way. Can you make an Eruv Techumin for somebody without him knowing? So the Gemara says, you can't do that. What do you mean? You're benefiting him. Which means I'm giving him now an eruv in this spot. He can walk 2,000 amah from this spot. It's a zechut. It's not. Because it's also a hov. Because let's say the guy did not want to go that way. By giving him his eruv in the east, so now he can only go east. He cannot walk west. So therefore you cannot make an eruv techumin shelo befanav without the guy knowing it. You say, I give the guy zechut. You tell the guy, you know what? I did you a favor. I was okay for you, you have an eruv in the east. He said, Shema, I don't want it in the east then. Now I'm stuck. Now I can't walk to the west. So therefore, in that case, you would not be allowed. So therefore, we do see that eruv techumin is more strict in that sense than eruv hatzerot. So therefore, when you say, I would have said, meaning by eruv hatzerot. Because already we see it has more leniencies. That's why I had to say, alachai kerev Yohanan ben Nuri, to tell me that in this case, even by eruv techumin, we are going to be mekel, that if he's sleeping, he is koneh shevita. So that's another reason why Rabbi Yoshua had to say both statements. Alachai kerev mekel be'eruv, which would teach us eruv hatzerot. Alachai kerev Yohanan ben Nuri by eruv. Now we are going to give a third answer to why you need the two statements of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Asher Amar, it's tarich. You need both statements. Sakada da kamina hani mili bishiyure ayruv. That, when are we talking over here that we're going to be lenient? That's talking about b'shiyure eruv, which literally means the leftovers of an eruv. Abal b'tchilat eruv, but in the beginning, inception of the eruv, ema lo, I might say no. Rashi, hani mile. The halakha ke mekel be'eruv b'chatzerot, which means yes, we're saying halakha ke devreha mekel. And when are we talking about that? That's about Eruv Hatzerot. When will I say Halakha Kedivreha Mekel in Eruv Hatzerot? I might think that that's only by Shiyure Eruv. What is Shiyure Eruv? Rashi. Sheniach Eruv B'makom Meshtamer. You took your Eruv, let's say you need an Eruv for argument's sake. You need the Shiyure of a Seuda. So you collected the Eruv and you put it in a spot that will be protected, you know, before Shabbat, lekama Shabbatot. And you said, you know what, this eruv I want to work for 10 Shabbatot. Okay? Now what happened? Venitma'eta ochem mishi'ur bet se'udot. That's a bet se'udot. So what happened? The food diminished. After Shabbat, already now the food already became less. Mikilim belakshure. I'll say, you know what? Since already at the time that you started the eruv for the 10 weeks, you had 2 se'udot. So going into the first Shabbat, you had your 10 seudot, I don't care what happens subsequently. That would be called shiure erubin. Meaning, on an erub that diminished, that's when I'll tell you, halakha kedivrei mekel be'erub, because you had it at the beginning. Aval, but, betchilat erub, emalo. But what? If at the beginning of the erub, maybe I cannot be mekel. What does it mean at the inception that I put the eruv, then the eruv has to be 100% good. There are no leniencies. And therefore, in the case of Rabbi Hanan ben Nuri, that's the inception of the eruv. When the guy's lying down sleeping, that's the beginning of his eruv for that Shabbat. Meaning, I might say, halakha kedivrei mekel. Yeah, that's when already the eruv was good, and now it diminished. Shiyure eruv. But by tchilat eruv, could be have to take the strict opinion. And the case of Tehillat Eruv is Rabbi Yohanan. Meaning, the guy didn't have an Eruv going into Shabbat. He's making his Eruv. But how's he making it? Sleeping. And we have a Machmir Shitav Hakamim that say a sleeping Eruv is not considered an Eruv. So therefore, I would have thought that you cannot take that opinion because that's considered Tehillat Eruv. So the Gemara says, who told you there's a difference between an eruv that was good and then diminished, or the inception of the eruv? That not. Amar Rabbi Yose, when do we say that you need a shiur for eruv bechaserot betchilat eruv? That's only at the inception when you're putting down the eruv. Aval b'shiure eruv afilu kol shehu. Already once it's shiure, meaning once you had the right shiur at the beginning, even though it diminished at the end, yes, for eruv bechaserot, you don't even need anything. Even you have a kol shehu left over. Oh, how could that be? What's the rationale of that? Bottom line, you're going into the subsequent Shabbat without Shtei Seudot. So you know why?
V'lo amru le'arev haserot ela kedei shelo l'shakeach torat eruv min ha'tirokot.
The only reason why we said you need anything by Eruv Haserot is so the children will not forget the law of Eruv. What type of Eruv? Eruv Tehomin. Meaning like this. Really by Eruv Haserot you don't need any food. It's enough to have a kol shehu. You don't need two seudot. And therefore, really if you started off with two seudot and then it got diminished, we're going to take it on the original law. The original law is you don't need two seudot by Eruv Haserot. It's enough to have even a kol shehu of food. Oh, so why are we mahmir by Eruv Haserot to have two seudot? That's only because we don't want the children to forget the law of Eruv. What Eruv? Eruv Tehomin. Because Eruv Tehomin, to make a Shevita, you need a Seudah. So if they're going to see by Eruv Haserot that you don't need a significant shiur of bread, they'll say, the same thing by Eruv Tehomin. So therefore, what the statement is saying like this, they go back. To make an Eruv Haserot l'chatechila, you need a shiur of Shtei Seudot. Why? So the Tinokot will not forget the law of Eruv Tehomin. However, if let's say you put the right shiur and it got diminished, who cares? Because bottom line, you don't even need anything. You just need a kol shehu. And therefore you do see that there's a difference between Tehilat Eruv and Shiurei Eruv. Shiurei Eruv is more lenient. So therefore, if I just would have had a statement, halakha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv, I would have said, yeah, halakha kedivrei hamekel b'shiyurei eruv. However, b'tchilat eruv, halakha kedivrei hamachmir. And therefore, this case of eruv tehomin is like a case of tchilat eruv, because he's making his eruv by sleeping there at the inception. Kamash ma'alan halakha kerebi Yohanan ben Nuri. That what? Even though this is tchilat eruv, still we can be mekel. And in the interim, we just learned some interesting points that by eruv hatserot, you really don't need the full shiur of bread at all, even at tchilat eruv. And I did it as a gezerah atu eruveh. Tchumim, where you do need a bread, therefore will be more mekel. If shiureh, you started good and you didn't. Finished, it'll be okay. Comes the Gemara and says, now we have a new point. Now the Gemara is going to go into, when you have a machloket amongst different hakamim, who do you posek like? Now already since we discussed Yahid, Verabim, Yahid, Viyahid, the Gemara is going to go now and give us specific rabbis. When these two rabbis are arguing in halakha, who do you follow? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zidika Amru. Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zidika taught, they said, halakha ke Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Halakha follows Rabbi Akiva when he's arguing against his friend. Meaning, when it's Rabbi Akiva against a colleague, Rabbi Akiva wins. Halakha Rabbi Akiva. Uch Rabbi Yoseh mechaverav. And we take Rabbi Yoseh even if he's arguing against his colleagues, meaning haverav. When it comes to Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva mechavero, not mechaverav. When it comes to Rabbi Yoseh, it's even mechaverav from his plural colleagues, exactly. Uch Rabbi mechavero. And also Halakha follows Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi mechavero. Okay? So let's review the three dinim. Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Rabbi Yoseh mechaverav. Rabbi mechavero. Comes the Gemara and says, Lemay hilcheta. What are you saying this over here? Which is, how does it halachically manifest? Meaning, what's the question? The question to Gemara is, are you saying this as a rule? Meaning, is this it? Which means, are you saying it as bottom line, this is the klal, and you do not deviate?
This is the template.
Or you're saying, no, we're just giving you like a general deen, but it's not in stone, meaning it can change. Look at Rashi, the Ma'il Cheta. לעניין מה נאמרה שמועה זו שפסקו הלכה סתם בכל מקומות יש לסמוך עליה לראות הלכה למעשה כן? Meaning, is it הלכה למעשה? Meaning, when you said Rabbi Akiva וחברו, that's it, I can take Rabbi Akiva in every single place in Shas. עודם המספרה בעלמה כאמרה כן, אבל הלכתם מכלל לא סמכן לנמל. Or you're just giving a sevara, you're saying that it makes sense to take Rabbi Akiva, but of course, don't rely on this. Meaning, you gotta ask. I mean, were you saying this as, take it to the bank, that's it, halakha is like Rabbi Akiva. Always, all we are saying, no, it's mistabir to say that it goes like Rabbi Akiva, but of course you have to analyze. How are you saying it? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Aseh Amar, halakha. So Rabbi Aseh says, yeah, halakha. Meaning, yeah, it's set in stone, that's what it is. You're always going to take Rabbi Akiva mechaviro, Rabbi Yosef mechavirav, and Rabbi mechaviro. Finish. You can take it. That is the halakha. Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Amar matin. So Rabbi Chaya bar Abba says, no. It'll be enough to be what's called matin. What is matin? You can rely on it. Meaning, if somebody comes to you and asks you, what's the halakha? You could tell them, all right, listen, you could follow Rabbi Akiva, but don't say it in public. Which means you can give the heter to a yahid that's coming to ask you, but you're not gonna, you know, publicize it in the shiur, so to speak. Okay, Rashi says that the ore morina ladam yahid, aba midrash peperkei berabim lo darshinan. You can say it to an individual, but the rabim, you're not bound by these klalim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Harina Amar, Nir'in. What is Nir'in? You don't even say it to an individual, Halakha Rabbi Akiva. Nafka me not to know this rule. If somebody did like Rabbi Akiva, you leave it. You don't undo what he did. So it comes out, there's three different levels over here. Either these rules teach me Halakha, or they teach me Matin, meaning for an individual, the rabbi can be posek like these opinions, but in the Rabbim, you know, they're not bound by it. Or even in private, the posek should not rule like this klal. But if somebody followed Rabbi Akiva mechavero, Rabbi Yosef mechaverav, okay, leave it. You don't have to undo it. So therefore, there's a, you know, three-way mahloket. Comes Gemara and says, Kelshon hazeh, similarly, in this lashon, Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Ide, Amar Rabbi Hanan. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, I'm a machlok Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Who's the halakha like? Halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef. Halakha Rabbi Yosef. Okay, now, the end sadiq lomar, it goes without saying, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef. Halakha Rabbi Yosef. Of course. Why? Hashtab bimkom Rabbi Yehuda leta. In the case where it's a machlok between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, you follow Rabbi Yosef. Bimkom, in the case where it's Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, you take Rabbi Yehuda. Bimkom Rabbi Yosef, when the halakha follows Rabbi Yosef against Rabbi Yehuda, mevaya, do you have to say? So therefore he gave three rules here basically. Let's review the rules. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, halakha ke Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, halakha ke Rabbi Yosef. And it goes without saying, Rabbi Yosef with Rabbi Meir, halakha is going to follow Rabbi Yosef. Now, regarding this law over here, Mara says, meaning, what were you saying this regarding? Kelashon hazeh, meaning, just like we had the same mahlokah above, is it halakha, is it matin, or is it nir'in? Similarly, when, who made this statement here? When Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi made this statement regarding Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, it's under the same guidelines. Meaning, some will say it's halakha, some will say it's matin, and some will say it's nir'in. I mean, just like in the first situation, where we brought a mahloket between Rabbi Akiva and Chaveru and all that, where we said, to what parameters? So we had a three-way mahloket. So the same three-way mahloket, he learned it in these rabbis. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Aseh, Amar Rav Aseh said, Af ani lomed, I also learn the following. That what? Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, mahloket Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, halakha Rabbi Yosef. How do you know that? Damar Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Hanan, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Because if you have mahloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, halakha Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what it says. Hashta bimkom Rabbi Yehuda leta. Which means when you have a mahloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, you don't take Rabbi Shimon. Bimkom Rabbi Yosef, In a case where it's a Biyoseh against the Bishimon, where we know the Biyoseh against the Bihuda, Halakha follows the Biyoseh. Mibaya, it goes without saying. So the Gemara says, Ibayinu. Now the Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon Mai. Which means those are the two rabbis that the Halakha did not follow. Which means when it was Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, Halakha could be Yehuda. Okay? When it was Rabbi Yoseh against Rabbi Shimon, it was Rabbi Yoseh. So now we want to know, what about those two rabbis? Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, my tiku. So the Gemara says, okay, that's it. Now Rabbi's going to answer that one. That's a question already. That Gemara continues. Right. Everything else follows the progression. These two over here, we don't know who's the other guy going to be like. Amar Rav Misharshia. Now watch what Rav Misharshia says. Litnihu lehane klale. Rav Misharshia, after this whole sugya, comes along and says, these rules don't apply. There's no rules like this. I'm following one rabbi in halakha, etc. We don't have these. As she says, the klalin that we made above, ploni uploni, halakha ke ploni, bechol makom, ela hechad de mistaber ke moril ke takevate, vechad de mistaber beduchta hariti ke idecha vine kevate. The Mishashi says, you go according to Sevara. Don't lock us in to any one opinion. Meaning, you want to follow him in this way because it makes sense? You have a right to. You want to follow the other rabbi in another place because it makes sense? You have a right to. Rav Misharshia doesn't want to make a rule in Psak. You go according to the Sevara. What's his proof? So the Gemara says like this. Minalil Rav Misharshia, how do you know this? Ilema mehadditnan. Okay, now let's go back to our Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's daf. The Mishnah said like this. You have a case where three people are together in an area, okay? The middle guy overlaps with the guys on his side, meaning his area overlaps. We had a picture in our books. Could you tell me the number? 179. Okay? And we're talking about Tehumin over here. So the middle guy, his area overlaps with the guy to his right and the guy to his left. And therefore we said they could all eat with him and he could eat with them in the shared area. But the two outside guys cannot because they're far away from each other. Beautiful. Now, the Bishimon in our Mishnah came along and said, V'chen Shlosha Hatzerot. He gave a similar din to three Hatzerot, which we also have a picture of that. What's the Hatzerot picture? 180. What was it? You have three Hatzerot that are adjacent to each other, all opened up to a Reshut Harabim. What was the din? If the middle Hatzer made an Eruv with the guys, the Hatzerot on its side, they can carry into the middle, and the middle can carry into them. But the outer ones cannot. That was Rabbi Shimon's, like, Mashal. He said, oh, the deen of the Tum is similar to the deen of Hatzer. Now let's look at the Gemara. Ditnan, it said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon omer, lema hadabar dome. What is the case of Tehumin analogous to? The gimel hatzerot hapetuchot zu lezu. The three hatzerot that are open to each other. Uftuchot reshut rabim. Erbu shtayim hachitzerot ima emsa'it. If the two outer hatzerot made an eruv with the middle, he muteret imahem. The middle is mutar with them. Vehen mutarot ima. And they are mutarot with it. Ushtayim hachitzerot asurot zu imzu. Right? And the outer hatzerot are asur. Continue. V'amar Rav Chama ben Gur bar Guria, amar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So we have a statement now that says halacha follows Rabbi Shimon by the case of hatzerot. That what this exact case is true, like Rabbi Shimon. Now, uman paligale, who's arguing on Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. Now, how do you know Rabbi Yehuda argues? Because that she gives us two ways. Stam argument of Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Yehuda. Who's not knowing anything. Whenever you say there's a bat plukta against Rabbi Shimon, the assumption is it's Rabbi Yehuda. Or I could say, no, it's actually from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah till now, until that point where the Erubei Hatzarot was mentioned, till now Rabbi Yehuda was talking in that Mishnah. It's much where Rabbi Yehuda was talking up until the point of Hatzarot. When it came to Hatzarot, Rabbi Shimon was telling Rabbi Yehuda, oh, so if you tell me by Tum it works that way, that the two outer guys are asu to each other, you should agree to me by the case of Hatzarot as well. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda, for some reason, does not agree to the Hatzarot case. He argues on that case. So what do you see? Rabbi Shimon's arguing against Rabbi Yehuda. And when did Rav Hama come along and say, Halakha k'Rabbi Shimon? Oh, so what do you see? There's no rules. You just told me rules. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halakha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Well, obviously not like that. Because now you're seeing, you can follow. Rabbi Shimon, so therefore Rav Mishar Shia wants a ring of proof from this Mishnah. And the fact that you have it in Shittah, Rabbi Shimon. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on him. And still you say Halakha k'Rabbi Shimon. Don't say anything. It's an automatic. We know Halakha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Ela what? No. You tell me Halakha k'Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I thought you gave me a klal. I thought you told me when it's Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, Halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Ela, what do you learn from there? Litnehu, you don't have the klalim. Wow. So the Gemara says, what's the proof? No proof. Umay kusha, what's your question? This is you bringing a question on us? No question on this. Dilma hechad itmar itmar hechad lo itmar lo itmar. Which means, where it's stated, it's stated. Where it's not stated, it's not stated. Meaning, you're right. Off the bat, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Unless otherwise stated. Which means, you're right, in this case, it's an exception. When they come along and say, Halakha k'Rabbi Shimon, okay, that's all right. But what? Because he stated it. And Adrabah, that's why he had to state it. Because if he didn't stand it, we go back to the regular rule of Halakha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Adrabah, Rabbi Shimon, we do have a principle. That's why he had to come out of his way and say, Halakha Paz is going to be short, because it's an exception. So comes the Gemara and says, okay, fine. So we'll bring it from a different place. Ela meha. From here. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Now basically the principle of this Mishnah is going to be like this. You're going to have a city. It's going to be heavily populated. It's really heavily populated, meaning it's going to have, according to Rashi, 600,000 people. So since it's heavily populated, it looks like a Reshut Rabim, but it really isn't a Reshut Rabim because it doesn't have all the other qualities. For example, the streets are narrow. So technically, you would be able to put an Eruv around the whole area. You can't put an Eruv, let's say, by a regular Reshut Rabim. But since this is really not a Reshut Rabim, because really, like I said, the streets are narrow, etc., technically would be permissible. What are we concerned about? If you're going to put an Eruv around the whole city, people are going to start to think that there's no din of Reshut HaRabim. You're going to think that Reshut HaRabim you can carry by putting an Eruv, and you really can't. So what did the rabbis say? In this quasi Reshut HaRabim, put the Eruv up, but leave an area in the city where you can't carry. So the people will remember that this is like a Reshut HaRabim, and therefore there's certain areas you can't carry. It's like a Gezerav the Hachamim, that in an area that looks like a Reshut HaRabim, leave un-eruved areas, and also the people don't mistaken that they can carry in a Reshut HaRabim. Now let's read that inside. Gemara says, Titnan, Ir Shel Yahid. Shel Yahid meaning it's lightly populated. V'da'asit Shel Rabim. But it became heavily popular. So it looks like a Reshut HaRabim. Me'arbin et kula. So in that case, since it started off lightly populated, the people in their mind remember it as a lightly populated area. They're not going to make a mistake that this area is a Reshut HaRabim. Therefore, it's permissible to eruv the whole entire place. Shel Rabim, but if it's the opposite, if it started heavily populated, which means the premise of the people is this is a populated area, and it is, the Nasit Shel Yahid. And what happened? The population dwindled, less than 600,000. En ma'amin et kula. You cannot make an eruv around the whole entire city. Ela imken oseh chutzala. You have to leave a certain area outside of it. Ki'id hadasha shebi'uda. Like one of the new cities in Yehuda, which is how much? Shesh ba'hamishim diurim. Minimum, you have to leave an area of 50 residents that are non-part of the eruv. Devei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, no. Shalosh Hatzerot Shel Shnei Batim. You have to leave three courtyards, two houses in each courtyard. So I'm machloket, how much of the city you have to leave on Eruv. Now comes the Gemara and says, Ve'amar, and who's the machloket between? Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav Halachak, Rabbi Shimon. Uman Padig Ale, Rabbi Yehuda. And who argues on him? Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'amar, but do you give me a klal? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halachak, Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rav Meshasha will say, you see here, your klal is not a klal. Because I see, here we go like Rabbi Shimon. Gemara answers the same answers we said before. Mike Usha, what's your question? Dilma, hachaname, hechad itmar itmar, hechad lo itmar lo itmar. Which means, you're right, where it's stated, it's stated. Here we have an exception, Halakak Rabbi Shimon. But where it's not stated, it's not stated. Then Halakak will follow Rabbi Yehuda. Let's just read the top Rashi, gentlemen, on this case. Top Rashi on Mem Zayin. The command, the Ketzad Na'abrim. The Kamar Rabbi Yehuda, Irshul Rabbim. Right, started off heavily populated. Then Asit Shul Yachid, Shinit Ma'atu Uchlosea. The population got diminished. Me'avor Birchobotea. Right, they stopped traveling in its streets. Shishim Ribo. Okay? Ve'lo Dam Yahashul Degle Midbar. It doesn't look like the Midbar. It had 600,000 people. En Ma'adinit Kula Yahad. You cannot make an Eruv over the whole area. Ela Imken Shiyer Chutza Nun Diyurim Shelo Yarbu Imma. Which means, don't make them part of the Eruv. They have to be their own separate. Why? We want it to be a noticeable heker for a regular city of Rabbim. Which means, in a regular city of Rabbim, you can't make an Eruv around the whole city. You have to make each chatzer, each courtyard, each alley has to be part of an Eruv. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it's enough to leave a less area. The point is, Machloket Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. He said, in this case, Halacha could Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, ah, see that? Because there's no klal. He said, no, there is a klal. But here, it's explicitly stated. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen.